Hey guys, how's it going? Scotty from Scott's Bass Lessons and all those shenanigans, and I'm here with the amazing Vicky Warwick, who's been cool enough to come and hang out with us in New York City, which is where you live now.
Uh-huh.
But by your accent, say hello, Vicky.
I'm from London. Hi.
You're from London. First of all, I want to know how you ended up here and all about that. But first of all, how did you get into this racket in the first place?
Oh gosh.
In terms of playing bass, obviously.
I just always wanted to play an instrument. I kind of wanted to play drums, but...
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, I just think...
Much cooler than bass, but just playing...
I think everybody just wants to hit something, don't they? Make a lot of noise. But I ended up playing bass, joining a friend's band, and just loved it. Went to music college in, it's now BIM, but it was called...
In London.
But like Bass Tech, Guitar X.
And how long were you playing before you got there?
Since I was like 12, so...
And was it always you were going to be a musician? Was it in the family?
Not at all, no. Not at all. I thought maybe I'd want to be a photographer as well.
So
it was always going to be something like that. I knew I wanted to do music. I literally applied to one uni and went there, and it was great. I did the course over I did the first 2 years, and then I actually got a gig working with... they're a company called Xenomania. They're like a pop production house. So I deferred my last year to go
what
work
were you
with them.
Sort of like working as the bass player,
yeah. It was like we were like the in-house
band.
Yeah. So it was super bizarre, amazing.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful house. Just playing every day. We would rehearse in like the pool room next to the pool. That was like
the pool room.
The pool room.
Oh, you were living the dream.
Yeah, that was the band space. And so that was amazing. So that was where I first got to meet lots of people and, kind of start my career in music through that. Yeah.
And were you just playing bass then?
Yeah.
Because you do other stuff as well.
Yeah, there were some people writing there. The drummer, Simon Tellier, if you haven't heard him, great French drummer. He was writing a little bit there as well, but I was just playing bass.
It was predominantly bass.
Yeah.
And for the listeners, what kind of music were you doing?
Pop.
Pop.
Yeah.
Out and out pop, yeah?
Pop, yeah.
So in terms of like when were you having to sort of like deal with key bass and stuff like that as well? Is that something
not at that time. I feel like that definitely was the beginning of everybody being like, yeah, you should. Start playing, you know, synth bass, and now I've got a Moog Little Fatty. It's amazing fun, it was still just bass. But I would say more and more as my career's progressed, it's been really important to be able to sing and play some keyboards and play key bass.
Because you're more hireable when you do that, right?
Yeah, completely. The more strings to your bow, the better.
So when you were in that, when you're in the house band, let's call it house band for lack of a better term, in terms of like the artists coming in, did you guys kind of sort of like write the tunes and then as the in the production team and then show it to the artists, or were they?
No, they. So the way that it operated was that there was like a ton of writers, and in every room there would be like a writer working away on an idea, a riff, whatever, and somebody would be doing lyrics, and then everybody kind of came together every morning to share things. But we were really there because they were developing their own artists and they wanted a live band. So we were more the live performance band. So we would just be rehearsing with whichever artist they were developing at that time.
And in terms of the tracks, were you given like at what point in the development of the track were you given it? Was it like bare bones, or was it like this is what you guys have to play?
Yeah, normally when it was pretty finished.
Yeah.
We were pretty disciplined on this is the track, you should play it track, you know.
I'm just trying to give the guys sort of like an idea because they might not know at all how that kind of sort of like scene works.
It was a really good first look at how it could be in the music industry. The fact that I never really read any music, I hate to say it. Reading is great, but I've never
You never got given any charts or anything like that. It was like just here's the track.
Learn it by ear. So you develop a really good ear, and you just have to learn it and jam it with the other musicians until you get it right.
And
that was the thing. And we would rehearse. It was like it was a super bizarre gig. It was every day. Monday to Friday, like.
And was it
a
like
proper job?
Yeah, was it a job?
Yeah.
Did they pay you like your own salary?
Yeah, it was like a salary, yeah. So, you know, yeah, it was completely unheard of, but it was such a great training, yeah.
Just I bet to some be, guys are like, what?
Yeah, completely.
You're on salary, yeah.
That's the thing, yeah, I got to just, yeah, leave uni that year and go straight into this, you know, amazing job. Yeah, just to be playing bass every day.
And did you go back to uni?
Yeah, so they ended up not needing me for the year after. So I went back to uni to finish up, and which was really nice because then I went back with a really like fresh look at actually have worked in the industry and okay, what can I really get out of this third year, you know? Yeah. So it was really great.
And when did you finish? Was it 2011?
Yeah.
I've done my research. Then what did you do? Sort of like fresh out of, you know, uni, sort of like, you know, you've already worked as a pro musician. Uh-huh. Like, what do you do? Just for all them guys that are listening, and they might be at school, and they might be about to leave.
Completely,
And, or they're going to school, and then they're thinking, oh, shit, what do I do when I get out and all that?
Yeah.
And I know that you've been around and talked in schools about, you know, going to auditions and getting gigs and working in the music industry.
Yeah.
Like, what can you share that'll be, like, super helpful for people?
I think if you're in school now or if just finished, I think the best thing and, like, best advice I would say, you know, that maybe I wish I'd been told is really just make use of everybody you know, your facilities. You know, if you're still in school and you've got access to like studios, like use them, you know, or you've got practice rooms, get together, you know, with a drummer. Like it's great to practice by yourself, but it's so much better if you get in the room with a drummer and
put it into practice. Yeah.
Completely. So do all those things. And I think it's good to just put yourself out there. It's, you know, it's really great to have a focus on what you want to do. If you want to be a bass player, but, you know, also think about, hey, maybe I want to start a blog or I want to get into production a little bit. I want to be a songwriter. Like I do think it's really important to think about all those avenues because that's how the music industry is. You know, you're going to make your career from doing lots of different things. And that's great because that opens doors to other things. Yeah. You know, it really is about who you know. So I would say like develop those relationships and, you know, then things happen organically. You don't want to like, I guess some people get a bit like, oh yeah, they see somebody doing a great gig and they're like, oh, where did you get that gig? You know,
turn into the hustle guy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah, it's a very like fine line how you
hustle.
How you hustle completely.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing.
No, I know you exactly. And for anybody listening, there is like there's three types of people. Well, there's probably a lot of subcategories of these. But I don't know if you agree with this, right? But I'll put it into my three broad categories, right? People that just don't hustle at all.
Yeah.
And stay at home practicing or whatever.
Yeah.
And don't do anything.
Yeah.
And they sometimes get good gigs. And sometimes whether people get gigs or not, right? Let's just take that.
Yeah, there's lots of
some people just sit home just practicing or doing nothing, playing PlayStation or whatever they do. Or Commodore 64 back in the day. I'm not that old. It wasn't Commodore 64, although I did have one. Anyway, second category, people that actually get out there are really socially aware and good in social situations, positive to be around, and are hustling, but in a really kind of, just in a sort of like kind
like
of
an organic way.
Way, that's the word, Third category, like these people that are just like annoying as hell and they've got like, they're always wondering why they're not on a gig and they're always like, oh, why am I not on that gig?
Yeah.
And they're just sort of like chasing gigs all over the place. Like, I definitely know people like that.
Yeah.
They annoy the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you do too, right?
Yeah.
Not, I mean, you don't annoy the, you don't annoy the hell out, I mean, you know people like that, right?
Yeah, I know totally what you mean, Yeah, it's such a fine line. It's really difficult. But yeah, it really is about putting yourself out there. But yeah, in a way that's not just so intense, you know.
Yeah.
There's just a way to make friends naturally and just, you know, seek opportunities. But, you know, don't hassle people.
Yeah. So like, do you think, I don't, it's obviously, but you obviously think that like being like socially aware and cool is like a huge bonus,
that's what people need to sort of like
take into consideration.
That's the thing, being a successful musician or being successful anything really, it's not just about actually being a musician. Obviously you have to be really talented at what you do.
That's like a prerequisite. It's like
it's so much more. It's a, you know, rule one, like don't be an idiot, like don't be you know, you're going to be working in group situations a lot, so you don't want to be an abrasive person. You want to be able to get on with everybody, be chill, be laid back, you know how to manage social situations, you know, especially if you're touring for like months on end, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Times can get like, you know, funny. So you have to be able to like know when to like let people have their space, you know, crack a joke and lighten the mood or whatever. It's really about.
Right. So check this out, right? Because I know that and I totally agree with you. But what I've been thinking about over the last few weeks, maybe even months, is like what happens if somebody knows that they can be a break. This is a bit of a wildfire question, right? Just because I want your opinion on it, because I don't really have the answer. What happens if you know, because I've got like a few friends that definitely, they understand that they can be abrasive in certain situations. Like, what happens if you are one of those guys or girls that know, like, what can you do? Do you think just like,
I think if, being if truthful you know with it, yourself? That's the first step. Great. Like, you know, you're aware. So I guess like you have to learn to bite your tongue a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess some people, you know, being really opinionated, that's like a thing that maybe some people wouldn't like on a gig. Like, oh God, you know, they're always just sharing their, you know, opinions too much, stuffing it down your throat. Like if you feel like you're about to do that, you just have to try and bite your tongue, you know. It's difficult.
It's a strange one.
Yeah. Self-restraint.
So obviously like you left and you're like, you know, now you were doing the bass player, pro musician thing in around London. You like worked with artists and you did some TV gigs and all that kind of thing. And then you spoke at schools and stuff like that. You're in New York.
I'm in New York.
But how did that happen?
So I was touring a lot with this artist, Charlie XCX, and we had a tour booked. And at the end of that tour, I was just going to come to New York to hang out for a week. I just thought, pin it on to the end of tour in America. Great.
Oh, right. Okay. So it was on the end of a tour.
We were already here. So I thought, I'll just come over. And but then she cancelled the tour.
Oh.
So, which was a shame.
Yeah.
So I was really gutted that, you know, obviously the tour wasn't going to be happening and I wasn't going to do my New York trip. But, you know, I was like, I've got nothing to do for 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come to New York anyway. So
I just thought,
yeah, I had a friend with a room I could rent. And, I just came and I loved it. I actually met my now fiance on like day three.
Oh really?
So that was it. I had to move it, but I was, you know, I was really, really, you know, because we toured so much in America, you know, I loved it. I felt like I wasn't ready to not be in America, you know, especially because the tour got cancelled. You know, you feel like you're kind of robbed of an opportunity. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to create one for myself. So
and then you went back and forth, didn't you, London?
Yeah. So then I was trying to figure out, I'm going to do this. And, you know, getting a visa takes some time. I have like a extraordinary alien visa, which is a great visa title.
A great alien.
I'm an extraordinary alien.
You're an extraordinary alien.
Which
is like an artist visa.
Exactly. It's an artist visa. So you have to prove that, you know, you're like the best thing since sliced bread to America. So it's great. Yeah.
So now, how long have you been here full time?
Since August, mid-August.
Yeah. Okay. So like 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, what's it like moving to a new city, especially it's not just a city, it's New York.
Yeah.
So it's like incredibly competitive and there's like, it's a crazy place. Yeah. What's it?
Totally. I mean,
first of all, what's it like and what's your kind of game plan?
My game plan is, I mean, what's it like? I'm still trying to figure that out. I think that's the thing is like, I feel totally at home here and it is a similar city to London in some senses, but obviously completely different in others. You know, America, again, it's like, it's similar, it's familiar, but you know, when you live here, then you realize how absolutely different our countries are, you know, especially at the moment with, you know, this political climate. It's just so different. You know, hey, the NHS, people moan about it, but what a wonderful thing. We're very lucky in England to have all the support we have in everything. So it's getting used to that. Getting used to, I think the biggest difference is, you know, famously English people are very modest about their accomplishments. Yeah. And here people are just so...
It's culturally different, isn't it? They sort of like, this is what I've done.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. I'm really proud of it, and this is why you should hire me.
Yeah.
And then elsewhere, well, in the UK, it's like,
that's not
I'm really
a good thing.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, bragging.
I actually
is
watched a documentary about actors in Hollywood from the UK, finding like that part of the culture really hard because it's expected that you should be able to
blow
tell
your own
people.
Trumpet.
Yeah. In a different way, though. Yeah. Remember when we were talking about the three categories
of
muscle?
Exactly. There's different ways to do that,
too. They kind of don't do it in that really annoying way. There's this sort of like, they do it in their own way. It's quite bizarre. So, like, did you know any musicians when you moved to New York?
Yeah, I knew a few. I knew, like, Jack Antonoff and the guys from the band Bleachers. And Jack's great. He's producing and writing with, you know, like, Taylor Swift and Lorde now. So I knew those guys and they were like, yeah, you should move here. Like, you know, it'd be great. So, you know, lots of people really encouraged me and said, like, if I moved here, that there'd be people that would want to help. And, you know, and people have been so great. In a way, it's, like, really nice to move to a new city. As somebody who has, like, you know, had some accomplishments, so I'm not just a complete stranger to
newbie.
People. Exactly, I'm not a complete newbie. People can be like, oh, this is Vicky. She's done this. Yeah. And people have been so welcoming and nice. Game plan, just trying to meet people.
Yeah, meet people, get
hey,
out there.
I'm based there in New York, like, let me know.
Give me a gig.
This is the thing, like, I'm really seeking I'm seeking anything, but, you know, I love touring with pop acts and big productions. Everybody's told me I should live in LA now. So
you've been there.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's really nice, but it's a totally different.
Has your fiance got a job here?
Not yet. So we might end up there. No, seriously, we might end up there. But they're two totally different cities. Like, and I really love New York. I feel totally at home here. Like LA.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, London's very different from LA, isn't it? It's better weather down there.
Yeah. No, it is. You can't. Like, you can't deny. On paper, LA is like.
Yeah. Super.
The best.
Nice.
I just need to like drive.
If anybody else is about to move to a big city like New York, what advice would you give them? Being through the last 6 months of what you've done.
I think
just to prepare them for it.
I think you really do have to make an effort to like go out and meet people and make new friends. And I knew that was going to be part of the process.
Where do you go to do that?
So I'm just trying to find out all the like jam nights and stuff.
There's a
great one here at Arlene's Grocery called The Lesson.
Yeah,
which is like amazing. Christine. Guys. Exactly. We did a gig together. So then I went to that.
Yeah.
Again, it's who you know. It always is. Like we did a show together here, and then I went to that night, and I was like, oh hey, it's Christian, and then he introduced me to the bass player. So it's always like that. Yeah, there's that. There's just a few others, and just.
Just getting out and meeting musicians because that's where the gigs are going to come from.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Other musicians and bass players.
Completely, and hanging out with bass players. Like, I've made a really good like new friend last week, a bass player, and it's great because, you know, you just understand each other and, you know, if there's ever maybe a gig, you know, they can't do, they might, you know, want to call on me.
Absolutely, when I moved to Leeds when I was like a kid, when I was whatever it was, like 19 or 20, first thing I did was reach out to all the bass.
Yeah.
Well, I went around and I sort of like checked everybody out, and I went to all the best guys and said, hey, can I have a lesson?
Yeah.
So I'm not sort of like, hey, can I be your friend? I'm like, can I have a lesson? Because, like you might see that I'm all right, and then a gig might come up, and I'm not sort of like asking you I'm essentially like paying you for the time to hang out with me.
Exactly.
And then I'm going to...
And then, of course, they're going to do that and you're going to be on their radar.
You're not crazy. You're going to, you know, strike up a relationship with them and it'll be cool.
Totally.
And yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. That's the thing. You just got to go out with people and...
Yeah.
Be the chill person that's not hustling too hard, but, you know, they invite you to a gig, you go along and... Yeah, it's just, doing things like that. Yeah, definitely lessons. I want to find somebody here. There's so many great bass players here.
There's too many.
So, that's another thing I would love to do. Yeah.
And you've got your own project coming up as well. Is that this year that you're doing that?
Yeah, so I do want to do a lot more songwriting for other artists, but, you know, in order to create some buzz around that, I am going to release the music myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a no-brainer to do your own original project.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of like taking it by your own hands.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for somebody to sort of hand you it. Yeah.
Completely. And that's it. You know, it's like, oh, you try and, you know, wait for people to collaborate with you, producers, whatever. Obviously, that's great, but I've spent a lot of time learning production as well and trying to do that. You know, obviously, being a musician, you just never run out of things
absolutely.
To learn,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to release some music this year under the name Ainslie, which is Ainslie.
I like that.
I should learn how to spell it myself. Yeah, Ainslie. Yeah, so I'm gonna work on that. Yeah, this year is the year I really want to work
on. And where can people find you, like, and about that project that's coming up, when that comes out, where can people find it?
Yeah, so my website is sheplaysbass.co.uk.
Yeah.
I haven't got .com yet. I need to do it. I need to, you know, I've moved.
The URL.
Yeah.
Is it there? It must be there, the .com.
I'll have to look into it, you know.
I've got a domain issue.
Yeah,
I buy them randomly. Yeah, it's like I wake up in
the morning. Right, just to have them. Okay.
I've got the souploft.com.
The what?
The souploft.com. I've got loads of others.
That's so weird you said that. I was trying to, I want to start a blog as well. I want to interview other friends about, you know, their tour experiences, tourlife.com or something. But my fiance was like, yeah, you should call it soup something. That's so weird.
Really?
He said that. Yeah, I'm gonna have to buy that domain.
The souploft.com.
Souploft. Yeah, he said something about soup. So strange. Yeah. Anyway, tangent.
So sheplaysbass.co.uk.
Sheeatsoup.com.
Sheeatsoup.com. Yeah.
Sheplaysbass.co.uk and Ainsley. I don't have a website yet, but it's gonna be. It'll be on Spotify.
And then can people find you on Instagram and?
Yeah, on Instagram,
Facebook,
and she plays bass. She plays bass on Instagram.
Cool.
Website.
Guys, we'll hook it up. If you're listening on the website, the links are below. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to the website. The links are below. And if you are watching it on YouTube, links will most likely be below. Vicky, you're Sam. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.